Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soito Daf Lamed Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 3 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. You may notice that as soon as we begin the shiur, there is a bracketed section. We have a note indicating why these brackets appear, and on the side we have written Hata'am lasograyim, the reason for these brackets, eino mishum dilug, is not for skipping purposes, which is in fact the common use of brackets in our Gemara markings. We often skip bracketed sections in order to maintain the logical flow of the discussion. Not so over here. Ela lesamein, the purpose of these brackets is to note sheketa zu, this section that's in the brackets, eino kashur the nesias kapayim, is not related to the topic the under discussion from the previous Gemara, which was the priestly blessing nesias kapayim because kohanim ela lehuchis kriyas haTorah. The section in brackets has to do with laws regarding the Torah reading. Achareim, after the brackets, Hagmor Choyzeres Linesias Kapayim. You might notice after the bracketed section, a triangle reappears. This is a continuation of the marking scheme that we introduced on our Shiur for Daf Lamed Ches, comments of Rabbi Shuben Levi concerning Birkas Kehanim. Hagemora lekamon beemtza omid beis, the Gemara later on lamites omid beis, mevia od halachis akshuros lekriyas haTorah, the other laws that in fact are related to kriyas haTorah. So now that we've mapped out the structure, once again we're in the middle of a larger discussion concerning Birkas Kohanim, and here we continue with our Gemara, third line from the top, Omar Rovo bar Ravuna. Kevon sheniftach Sefer Torah. Once a Sefer Torah is opened, rolled open for the purpose of reading, osur lesaper, it is forbidden to converse, afilu bedvar halacha, even in other Torah matters. Shenemar, and the basis for this is a pasuk, and we'll in fact see 2 sources for this law that absolute silence is demanded when the Torah is opened up for Torah reading purposes. What does the pasuk say in Nehemiah? It says, "Ukepiskoi, ukepischoi." We're reading it with a chof because in the Tanakh this word appears with a chof. Ukepischoi, amdu kolam. And when it was opened, a reference to the Sefer Torah. So the rest of the nation amdu. Now, the word omdu often means stood up. However, v'ein amida el ashtika, the word omdu indicates silence. In other words, it could even be that the term amida is a word indicating being stationary from a walking action. One stands still. Likewise here, from talking, so one's mouth stands still, becomes silent. So the term omdu has relevance to silence, shenemar. And you see the use of the word omdu in the context of silence from the following pasuk: v'hoichalti ki lo yedaberu ki omdu lo anu od. And in this pasuk, without translating the entire pasuk, you see they omdu v'lo anu od. They didn't speak anymore. So that omdu is associated with silence, and which is of course lo anu od, no more speaking. Rabbi Zeira Omar, Rav Chisda Mehocha. Rabbi Zeira quoting Rav Chisda says that you see this point from the following: the oznei kol ha'om el Sefer HaTorah. The ears of the nation were toward the Sefer Torah, meaning That's all. There was just listening, no talking. And as we indicated, we go back now to the topic of Nesias Kapayim, the priestly blessing. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Kohen Shelo Notal Yodov, Lo Yisa Es Kapov. Any Kohen who doesn't wash his hands prior to ascending toward the platform where from which he utters the blessing, he shall not do the Nesias Kapayim. He shall not raise his arms in the blessing. Shenemar Se'u Yedeichem Kodesh Uborchu Es Hashem. The word Se'u Yedeichem would be the reference to the raising of the arms. Now, Rashi doesn't comment on this pasuk, how you see the washing of the hands, so I'm going to venture to say that the word Kodesh has to do with the sanctification of the hands through washing. You have the term Kiddush Yodayim V'raglayim in the context of the kior of the water tank in the Beis HaMikdash, the prior to service, the service of the Kohanim in the in sacrificial service, they must wash their arms and their feet. So the term Kodesh could very well be the reference to the washing of the hands. So they Kohanim wash their hands, and then Uborch Lesa'om, then they bless the people. Shalu Tamidov es Reb Elozer ben Shamua. The students asked Reb Elozer ben Shamua, who was a Kohen, Bameh Harachta Yomim. Rashi says, Bameh Harachta Yomim, Ezev Schus Biodcha, what merit do you have, Sherachta Yomim, that you have lived a long life? In other words, you see from here that he apparently had reached quite an advanced age, maybe something out of the ordinary, that motivated the students to ask, what special merit do you have? And this, by the way, you see in other Gemaras, this type of question posed to those sages that achieved longevity. So he answers, Omar lehem, miyomai loy osisi beis haknesses kampandaria. You'll notice we are using a double underline marking on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei / Mivneh topic heading and structural note, which we combine. The double underline highlights Dvorim Shebizchuson Reb Elozer ben Shamua Herich Yomim, different practices that created merit for Reb Elozer ben Shamua to enjoy longevity. So the first is, he never made a shul into a kampandaria. Kampandaria is a shortcut. And you can easily see a connection here that he didn't. It would be a denigration of the shul of a synagogue to use it as a shortcut. A shul might have an entrance on both sides of the building, and you would cut through the synagogue to reach the opposite doorway, thereby enabling you to avoid walking around the block. Well, he never made the shul into a shortcut. So, if I may share my own opinion here or explanation, as that is measure for measure, he didn't shorten his trip through a shul. So in reward for that, in merit of that, so his life was not short but rather long. See, in other words, he took the long way around in order to preserve the dignity of the shul, so he was granted longevity in his life. Another practice of Reb Elozer ben Shamua that merited longevity, Velo Posati al Roshei Am Kodesh. In order to appreciate this a little bit more, we glance at the Rashi across from here. V'lo posati al roshi am kodesh shehoyu yoshim atamidim beveis hamedrash al gabi karka. The practice in the time of the Talmud was people, the students that were going to hear a Torah lecture, would sit on the floor. And v'hamahalech b'nehem kishen yoshvin. If someone would come a little bit late before, let's say, after they all assembled and assumed their positions on the floor, someone would come in a bit late, so in order to get to where he had to go, he would have to walk between the people already seated on the floor. And so the Rashi says that one who would walk between them, would have to take broad steps, the hu lashon mifasea, the ozil, The Gemara used the expression lo pasati. Pasati has to do with large steps, broad steps. When you have to walk between people, or walk sometimes maybe over their legs or something like that, you have to take broad steps. Venira kimefase al rosham. And if you're looking at this, maybe from the distance, it might appear as if this person is walking over their heads. And hence the Gemara expression of lo pasati al roshay am kodesh. I didn't walk over the heads of the holy assembly, meaning the students that were gathered to hear Torah study. Lefikach tzorch lahaktim. Therefore, if a person wants to avoid this, he has to come on time. Lahaktim is to come early, but certainly on time when everyone is sitting down, so that you don't have to walk between people that are already seated. Oh, yeshev lo mibachutz. Or alternatively, if you did come late and it's not dignified and respectful to people to be have someone walk over them, so you sit outside. Another merit. And here you see a direct connection to our discussion. V'lo nososi kapai b'lo brocha. And I didn't do nesias kapayim without the brocha. The Gemara will now discuss what is the text of that brocha. My mevorech. Now the diamonds that you see here are introduced on the side under the nosei / mivne heading. Nusach habrocha v'hatfilos soviv birkas kohanim. These diamonds introduce the text of the brocha that kohanim recite before the benediction and other prayers that are associated with the kohanim and their brocha. So, having said that Reb Lozer ben Shmua merited longevity because he was diligent in always reciting the appropriate benediction before the priestly blessing, my mevorech. What is the text of that brocha? Amar bizera, amar avchista. Asher kidshanu b'kedushos shalom v'tzivonu levorech es amo Yisrael bi'avo. Of course, the Gemara doesn't print out the standard beginning of the bracha, but that's understood. But then, namely, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, and then you pick up with the text of the Gemara Asher kidshanu, etc. So that the text of the bracha is that the Kohanim are pointing out that they've been sanctified with the sanctification of their forebearer Aaron, and has commanded us to bless his nation with love. And there's a lot to talk about on the unusual closing word of this bracha, that they are to bless the people with love, not merely just bless the people. And this is very unique with regard to Birkas Kehanim. You don't, for example, say by the bracha doing other mitzvahs, Asher Kitshanu b'mitzvot from Al Netilas Lulav be'ahava, that you take the lulav with love, or you put on your tefillin with love. But when it comes to this special priestly blessing, it has to be done. Part and parcel of the mitzvah is that the bracha is done with a sense of love. And in fact, there are halachas that are related to this, that if there is a sense of, let's say, enmity between the kohen and members of the congregation, then that brings into question whether that kohen should bless in that assembly. This isn't the time to elaborate on it, but it is certainly a topic that one would benefit from in researching it further. Ki okar kare, the kohen. And this is an expression we saw in our previous shiur, when he starts his journey, if you will, toward the front of the shul, from where he will bless the people. Okar kares, he literally uproots his feet, means he starts walking in avoda. He starts walking toward the position in the bracha of Ritzei, when the shliach tzibur, when the one leading the services reaches that bracha of the Shemone Esrei, so the Kohen assumes his position. He walks toward the front of the shul. And Rashi says, V'fi okar kare bavoda lemesak v'machsir ponav klapei teva mai omar. So it's when the Kohen reaches the front of the shul and he's still facing forward, he's facing the teva, he's facing the holy ark in which the Sifrei Torah are kept, what does he say? In other words, there's a prayer that he utters. my Omar, and it, just take note of the fact that this prayer actually is recited before the Kohanim utter the benediction that we mentioned just a moment ago of Asher Kitshonu B'Kedushos Shel Aharon. So what does the Kohen say when he arrives at the front of the shul while still facing forward? He says the following, Yehi Ratzon Mifonecho Hashem Elokeinu, let it be the will of the Almighty, Shah Shetei Brocha Zu Shetzivisonu Levorech Es Amcho Yisrael Lo Yebo Michshov Ovoin. This brocha should be a brocha that has no failings, no stumbling blocks or sin associated with it. It should be a pure brocha. V'chi mahader ape mitzibura mai omar. And at the conclusion of the priestly blessing, what does he say when he once again turns back facing forward? During the priestly blessing, as we've mentioned already a number of times, it's ponim keneged ponim, as we darshan from the Pasuk Kosev Orchu, facing the congregation. At this point, he finished the priestly blessing and faces forward now. What does he say? The expression, v'chi mahadir ape, when he turns his face, mitzibura, from facing the people, he turns back facing forward now, at the end of the benedictions, my Omar, what does he say? Adabre Rav Chisto le Rav Ukva v'dorash. The term Adabre, different commentaries explain that word in different ways. One explanation is he led, Rav Chisto led Rav Ukva to say the following. Another explanation that I've seen in commentaries is that from the word diber, ledaber, is he put the following words in his mouth. In other words, Rav Chisto was the scholar, and the scholar that, let's say, had the ideas, and he had Rav Ukva say it over to the public. And what did Rav Chisto say in response to this question? What prayer is said after the priestly benediction? Ribbono shel Olam, osinu ma shegozarta aleinu. We, the Kohanim, have done what you instructed us, what you commanded us to do. Asay imonu. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ma shivtachtonu. Do with us what you have promised. Hashkifu ma'oim kotshecha min hashamayim. Cast your eyes upon us from your holy location above. And the Gomer, and it goes on to say, bless your nation Israel. Omar Rav Chisto, Ein HaKohanim Rashoyim Lochuf Kishrei Etzboisen Ad Shiyafsru Pnei Minatzibor. Let me backtrack for a second. Just a word regarding the markings that we're going to see. As you scan ahead on the page, you'll notice a house shape that appears. We have Rav Chisto with this dashed house shape, and the rest is Rav Chisto being preceded by Rabbi Zera, where you see Omar Rabbi Zera, Omar Rav Chisto. At this point, the Gemara is going to present a list of more halachas concerning Nesias Kapayim. Truth be told, for marking purists, these names, Rabbi Zeir Omer Rav Chisto, appeared already on Omid Aleph, and Rav Chisto as well appeared at the bottom of Omid Aleph as well, and we did not highlight the names there with markings. The reason for this particular approach is that at this point in the Gemara, we're now going to see a list. The Gemara presents halacha after halacha in a list form, so we chose to highlight the names over here. For those who, of course, want to do something else, we highly encourage individual innovation with regard to markings. Now, on the side, you can see we have a nosei / mivne heading, where a double underline appears. They highlight oid halachas din nesias kapayim, more halachas regarding the priestly blessing. the Gemara once again from the second line from the top. Omer of Chisda Ein Hakayim Rashayim Lochuv Kishrei Etzboisehem. At the end of the priestly blessing, the Kohanim are not allowed to, let's say, lower their arms. Literally, it's to fold in their finger joints. But it has to do with lowering their arms, ad shiachzru p'neim netzibur, until they turn their faces away from the public. So that even though the Kohanim have officially finished the last section of the priestly blessing, they said the word shalom, which is the end of the bracha, they're as long as they are still facing the congregation, their arms are still extended in the position that they assumed for the actual blessing. So that while they're still facing the congregation, their arms must be extended. Omar Rabbi Zera Omar of Chisda Ein Hakorei Rashoi Likrois Kehanim. Here we're going now to the beginning. Before they started their bracha, the Kore, the one who announces Kohanim, the one who summons the Kohanim, so to speak, to start their blessing by calling out the word Kohanim, he's not allowed to say the word Kohanim ad sheyichle omein mipi hatzibur, until the congregation who had been listening to the repetition of the Shmon Esrei at the end of Birchas Hoidah, the bracha that begins with the word Modim, and it ends Hatov Shimcho L'cho Noe L'Hoidos, the congregation would answer Amen, and then the one who calls out Kohanim can pronounce the word Kohanim, announcing the summoning of the Kohanim. So the announcement of Kohanim is not allowed to be said Ad Sheyichle Amen Mipi Hatzibur, until the congregation finished uttering the word Amen at the conclusion of the Birchas Hoidah, as we explained. V'ein ha-koyanim rashoim lahaschil bivrocha ad sheyichle dibur mipi ha-kore. The koyanim themselves are not allowed to start their Birchas koyanim, the beginning with the word yivorechicha, until the one who announced Kohanim finishes pronouncing that word, Kohanim, and then the Kohanim start. You'll see in all of these halachas, things must be done in a very orderly, deliberate fashion. No overlapping of speech. And Rashi points out in his commentary that all of these halachas are because of the concept of Trei Koli Lo Mishtamoi. Two voices cannot be heard simultaneously. So we want everyone who has their assigned thing to say to finish what they're saying before the next party says what they are supposed to say. So we continue. V'ein hatzibur rashoi lanois omein ad shetichle brocha mipi hakohanim. The Tzibur who responds at the end of a bracha with the word Amen, they are not to say Amen until the Kohanim have finished their bracha. The Ein HaKohanim Hashem Mahasu Bivracha Cheres. The Birchas Kohanim is in effect divided into the three psukim as they appear in the Torah. So the Kohanim would say Yivorechicho Hashem V'yishmerecha, and the Tzibur would say Amen, and then the next bracha, Yo'er Hashem Ponov, that next bracha cannot be recited by the Kohanim until the Tzibur finished saying the word Amen. The Omar Rabbi Zeira Omar of Chisda, Ein HaKohanim Rashoim Lahachzir Pnei Min HaTzibur. The Kohanim cannot turn away from having faced the congregation during their priestly blessing, until the one leading the services, the chazan, starts sim shalom, which is of course the final brach of the Shmon Esrei, so that the kohanim, even though they finished their priestly blessing and the community, the congregation answered amen, they remain in their physical blessing position facing the tzibur with their extended arms until the Shliach Tzibur starts Sim Shalom, the final brach of the repetition of the Shmon Esrei. The Einon Rashoim Lako Raglei V'Lelech, the Kohanim cannot leave the podium, the platform, the front of the shul where they were located during the bracha, the Birkas Kohanim. They cannot return to their regular places in the synagogue. Ad Shigmor Shliach Tzibur Sim Shalom, until the Shliach Tzibur finishes that bracha, and it would end with Hamavorech Hamo Yisrael Bashalom. And at that point, that would be, let's say, the first opportunity for the Kohanim to leave their position, to go back to where they ordinarily daven. As far as halacha lemaisa, practical applied halacha, we've mentioned on many occasions in the past that one is not to conclude a practical applied halacha from Gemara markings daf yomi shiurim. One has to open up the standard sforim of psak halacha and come to, we'll say practical conclusions from there of how to actually do things. The Omar Rabbi Zeira Omar of Chisda. Before we go further, just a structural note. You notice we're continuing the double underline marking. There are more halachas that follow. However, these halachas, in addition to the double underline, you notice we have a dashed line as to draw your attention to something different here. And also, you noticed in our Mark Gemaras a semicolon right before this new halacha. Even though it's part of a series of Rabbi Zeira of Chisda halachas, the semicolon indicates a type of pause, a break from what we have been doing till now. So you can see on the side under the Nosei / Mivne heading, this is explained. And what have we written in? After the double underline with the dash line, it says, Hilchas Halachas Bekriyas HaTorah U'Kevoda. These are halachas that are no longer related to the priestly blessing, but they are halachas regarding Torah reading and honor that one bestows to the Torah. The Gemara. V'omar Rabbi Zeira Amar of Chisda, Ein Hatzibur Rashoin Lanois Omein Ad Shetichle Brocha Mipi HaKorei. The Tzibur is not to answer Omein as a response to a benediction until the one who is called up to the Torah finishes reciting the Brocha. As we have seen till now, each one has his own role in recitation. Finish what you have to say, and then the next individual or the next recitation can take place. No overlapping. And we continue with that. V'ein ha-korei rashoi likros ba-Torah, the one who is reading from the Torah itself, cannot read ad shiyichle omein mipi ha-tzibur, until the omein is completed on the part of the congregation. This line might not be familiar to many of our listeners, but there are communities that actually practice this to this day, and that is the recitation of the Aramaic translation and commentary that runs along with the Torah itself. It's often known popularly as the Targum Unklus. And the practice would be that a pasuk was recited from the Torah scroll in its original Hebrew, and then at the conclusion of the pasuk, the Metargim, he was the one charged with reciting, with reading the Aramaic translation, which of course is not in the Sefer Torah itself. The Aramaic translation is a separate work. It's printed in Chumashim today. It's part of the realm of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Targum translation, therefore, cannot be recited until the one reading from the Torah scroll itself finishes that particular verse. Finish the verse in Hebrew, then the Metargim picks up. He says his translation of that pasuk. V'ein hakorei rashoi lahaschil b'posuk acher ad sheyichle targum mipi ametargem. And the next posuk in read from the Torah cannot be read until the metargem finishes his Aramaic translation. As we continue in the Gemara, a new marking appears. These are highlighted with a bow tie. Halachas shel Rabbi Tanchum Omer B'Yeshua ben Levi binyan kriyas haTorah. Halachas that he presents Rabbi Tanchum in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Levi, also regarding kriyas haTorah. The Gemara. Omar Rabbi Tanchum Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Hamaftir benovi tzorech shiikra b'Torah tchila. The person honored with reading from the prophets, which follows the Torah reading, he's called the Maftir Benovi. He is required to read a section of the Torah, or when we say he's expected to read, also we have the Baal Kore reads for him. This Maftir Benovi gets an aliyah to the Torah, is called to the Torah itself. In other words, even though his main purpose is to read from the prophets, which follows the Torah reading, he must also be associated with the Torah reading itself. Hence, he reads the final psukim of that particular Torah reading. The Omar Rabbi Tanchum Omar Rabbi Shoben Levi Ein Hamaftir Rashoi Lahaftir Benovi Ad Shigoleil Sefer Torah. The reading from the prophets is not allowed to start until the Sefer Torah is closed, is rolled closed and covered with its special Torah covering, its cloth covering. There are different communities with regard to how the Torah is stored, but whatever the case is, the point is that the Torah is rolled closed and covered with its respect, with its particular covering, and only then can the Haftorah, the Maftir of Novi, be read. And the Rashi explains, let's read it together, Ad Shetigoleil Sefer Torah B'mit Pechoysov, covered with its cloths, Kidei Shelo Yehi HaGilulim Trudim Milishmo Haftorah Mipi HaMaftir, so that the ones who are involved with rolling this Torah closed and covering it are then free to hear the Haftorah. If the Haftorah reading is going to start before they're finished with their role, with their task, so they're not going to be concentrating on the Maftir reading. The Gemara continues, V'omar Rabbi Tanchum Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ein Shliach Tzibur Rashoi Lahafshit Es Hateva B'Tzibur Mipnei Kavod Tzibur. This halacha might not be familiar to many of us. I don't think that you'll find this practice common today. So in order to appreciate what was just said, we look at the Rashi. Lahafshit es hateva betzibur. Kol zman shatzibur beis haknesses, as long as the congregation was located in the synagogue, shiadarkum lo v'sefer Torah mibayis acher. The custom was that the Sefer Torah scroll was brought to the synagogue from a house in which it was stored during the times that it wasn't being used. She mishtamirbo, the house in which the Sefer Torah was being guarded, and then it was brought from there lebeis haknesses, uporsin begodim noim soviv hateva, and when the Sefer Torah scroll was brought to the shul, so then beautiful cloths were attached to the ark in which the Sefer Torah was kept, and umanichim oisa besocha, and the Sefer Torah would then be placed in the teva. The teva literally is a box, and that's what a holy ark is. It's essentially a box, and when the Torah was brought there, so they would, before putting the Torah in the ark, it would be decorated with beautiful cloths hung around it. The kishyotze misham, and when the services ended and people would leave, the Noitlim Sefer Torah lo licho lebayis hamishtamer bo, and the Sefer Torah was taken out of the synagogue back to the house in which it was kept, lo yafshitu habgodim min hateva b'fnei hatzibur. What our halacha, what our Gemara is telling us, Rabbi Tanchum is teaching us, is that the removal of those cloths from the teva should not be done in the presence of the congregation. Shetorach tzibur la'akev shom im sefer Torah, that's a burden on the public to tarry and delay and remain there with the Sefer Torah and while the cloths are being removed. So what is the proper procedure? Elo moiluch Sefer Torah lebeiso umanichoi. The Sefer Torah is taken out at the end of the services. It is removed from the synagogue. V'ha'om yoytzim achrov, and the congregation follows the Sefer Torah out of the shul, out of the synagogue. V'achar kach hu bo umafshir es hateva. And then the one in charge goes back to the ark to remove the decorative cloths. So let's read that again in the Gemara, this time with this understanding. The Rabbi Tamtam tells us, Ein shliach tzibur, the appointed one, the shamish of the shul, the gabbai of the shul, he is not allowed, Ein shliach tzibur rashoi lahafshit, the hafshit is to remove, es ateva bat tzibur, to remove the cloths that cover the ark. And he cannot do that bat tzibur while the community is there. Mekvod tzibur, out of honor and respect to the tzibur, as we saw in the Rashi. The respect to the tzibur is really to free them up to go on their way and not wait there while this is taking place. So once the tzibur leaves, then the shliach tzibur, as Rashi says, goes back to the ark and then removes those cloths. The Omar Rabbi Tanchum Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Ein Hatzibur Rashoi Lotzeis Ad Shinotel Sefer Torah. The congregation is not allowed to leave the shul until the Sefer Torah is taken out. And all of this is, as we saw in the Rashi. Again, I mentioned before that this is probably a practice that most of you who are listening to this year probably haven't seen, but it was a practice in the time of the Gemara, a very common practice, and hence we're told that the congregation cannot leave the shul until the Sefer Torah is taken out. The next two words is the subject of a discussion in the commentary, so we're not going to read them. Ushmuel Omar Ad Shiyetze. The first opinion, I might not have said it too accurately, so let's go over it again. The first opinion says, Achi notel Sefer Torah, until the Sefer Torah is taken. And Shmuel says, until it's actually taken out of the shul. Now, so the first opinion just says until it's taken, let's say, taken in the arms of the one who would carry it, but the first opinion doesn't indicate that the tzibur has to remain there until the Sefer Torah is taken out of the synagogue. Shmuel says, no, they have to remain there at sheyetze until the Sefer Torah is taken out of the synagogue. For lo pligi, and in fact there is no disagreement between these two presentations. Ha deiko pischo achrina, ha deleko pischo achrina. It all depends on, is this shul equipped with two exits or only one exit? If we take a look in the Rashi across him here, Iko Pischa Achrina, if the shul has another exit, Mishen Notal Sefer Torah Lotzeis Derech Pischa Yorotze Lotzeis B'Pesach Acher Yotze V'Afilu Lo Yotze Sefer Torah. The goal is, of course, honor to the Sefer Torah. So if the shul has, if the synagogue has a second entranceway, it's enough for the Sefer Torah to have been taken taken by the one who is carrying it to its destination, and people can leave the shul, exiting the other exit, even if the Sefer Torah hasn't actually left the shul yet. However, leko pischach mina, Rashi goes on, if there's only one exit, nachoin shietzi Sefer Torah tchila, then the respect would be, first the Sefer Torah leaves the shul, V'lo yetzi adam b'pesach lifnei sefer Torah. It would be improper for people to walk out of that one entranceway ahead of the sefer Torah. Give the sefer Torah its proper honor. Let it be the first one out. So that, of course, is a consideration only when there is one exit. Because if there's only one exit and people go out ahead of it, it looks as if they're jumping ahead of the Sefer Torah. However, if there are two exits, so the Sefer Torah goes out one exit, the people have the right to go out the other exit, even though the Sefer Torah is still in the shul. It does not appear as if people are jumping in front of the Sefer Torah to leave. It has its, we'll say, its own exit location. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava. Bar Ahina Asbarali. Bar Ahina is the name of an individual that explained this to Rava, this halacha of the Sefer Torah is the first one to leave and people should not walk in front of it, based on the pasuk Acharei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu. That's following the Almighty, then you go. And in this case, the Sefer Torah is, we'll say, the representation of the Almighty, in the sense that the Sefer Torah reflects the thoughts, the words, the teachings, and of the Almighty, in addition to containing many, many names of the Almighty in it. So after the Almighty, then you go. Bisman Shakunim Mivorchim Esom, Ma Hein Omrim. And here we go back to laws that are related to Birkas Kehanim. But it's a new series in the sense that's explained on the side of the Gemara. We have an Osei / Mivne heading. You'll see diamonds appear throughout this Gemara in addition to double underlines. Bisman Shakunim Mivorchim Om, we've written on the side when the Kehanim are blessing the people. Let me read that again. Bizman shekayin mevorchim ha'om oimrim psukim shoinim b'moadim shonim. The congregation says different verses, and the verses that they're expected to say will depend on, we'll say, different occasions. So we turn back to the Gemara. When the Kohanim are blessing the people, what are the people saying? I want you to note that when we get to Daf Mem Amud Aleph, you will see there are opinions that disagree with this entire section of Gemara. Here we're saying that the people, while the blessings of the Kohanim are being recited by the Kohanim, the people are themselves reciting things. That point is the subject of disagreement. But in the meantime, we're working with this opinion. And Rashi here says, Ha'om Mahim Omrim Shiyaru, or Sheyirau, they should appear, Masbirei Ponim, Umoidim Lufonov, Al Birchoisov, Laharos Shehein Noichos Lehen. We want, according to this approach, some type of, we'll say, Sibor congregation reaction, demonstrating that the people are pleased and appreciative of these brachas that the Kohanim are reciting. How is this going to be manifest? By things that they will say, that the congregation says. So as the Gemara says, while the Kohanim are blessing the people, what do the people say? Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav Chisda. Borchu Hashem Malachov Gibore Koach, Borchu Hashem Kol Tzvov Meshorsov Oisei Ritzoinu, Borchu Hashem Kol Maisov B'chol Mekoymos Memshalto, Borchi Nafshi Es Hashem. So you have several psukim that the Gemara just quoted. There are three psukim that are quoted here, and the three psukim correspond to the three verses that comprise the Birkas Kohanim. As far as for the translation of these verses, one can look into a translation of the Book of Psalms and appreciate the translation all the more. The Gemara continues, B'musfei de Shabbata, Mahein Omrim. When it comes to the Musaf service of Shabbos. Following Shachris, the morning service, there is what's called an additional service. That's what the word Musaf means. On Shabbos, you have Musaf, which is a new Shmona Esrei, which contains therein, during the repetition of that Shmona, a new priestly blessing. Even though the Kohanim did Birkas Kohanim in the morning, in the first prayer, the Shachris davening, they resume a blessing during the Musaf service. And Rashi points out this is a new Nesias Kapayim, and it is a prayer that is not recited during the weekdays. And since it's a new Nesias Kapayim, the congregation has to respond with something that they didn't say before, new verses. So the issue is, what do they say during the Musaf Nesias Kapayim? Amar Rabbi Asi, Shir HaMalois, Hinei Borchu Es Hashem Kol Avdei Hashem, Suyudeichem Kodesh Uborchas Hashem. That pasuk is from Perek Kuf Lamed Dalet, chapter 134. And they say, Baruch Hashem Mitzioin Sheichen Yishayim Haluluka. That is from chapter Kuf Lamed Hei, 135. You might be thinking, why are we emphasizing the location of these psukim? So it's because of the Gemara's question. V'leimo nami yevorechecho Hashem mitzion deksiv b'ahu inyono. Why don't they say this particular verse, which is in fact in that section, meaning in that which they started, chapter 134? So why is this not part of what the community says? Omar Yehuda Brei Reb Shimon Pasi Mitoch Shehischu Bevirchosov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mesayim Bevirchosov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The opening verses are blessings of the Almighty. You can see we read Ravasi started with Shir HaMalos Hinei Baruch Hu Es Hashem, bless the Almighty. And the verse that we read from 135, Baruch Hashem, blessed be the Almighty. In the suggested pasuk, that albeit it was from Tillim chapter 134, which would have been, I'd say, appropriate because that's what we opened up with, nevertheless, it's not recited because that pasuk says, Yivorechecho Hashem Mitzion, where the Almighty is blessing the people. And it's not in the it's a departure from the theme that opened these psukim, namely the community blessing the Almighty. The Gemara continues. B'minchosa de Taniso, my Amri. Taniso is a fast day, a public fast day, and On a public fast day, there's no, obviously by definition, there's no eating or drinking, there's no intoxication, there's no drunkenness. Therefore, on a fast day, there is, let's say, there's room to have a Birkas Kohanim, even in the, we'll say, the afternoon prayers, which would not take place during the weekday. Why not? Because during the weekday, When you reach the afternoon hours, people have already eaten. They've consumed their meals, including beverages that might very well be intoxicating, and that is that would disqualify a Kohen from reciting the priestly blessing. So you don't find during Mincha Shmona Esrei, during the Mincha service, the afternoon prayer service, you do not find, in general, the Birkas Kohanim. When it comes to fast days, so according to the Din of the Gemara, here I don't want to get into Halacha Lemaisa, what is the actual practice, there are quite a few more details to it than what we're seeing over here, but as far as the strict letter of the law from the Gemara standpoint, the Mincha service on a fast they would have a Birkas Kohanim. And since, as we said, this is something unique, something new, it's not common fare, so my Amri, what would the people say during the Birkas Kohanim that takes place during Mincha of a fast day? Omar Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, the following. Im avoneinu onu bonu Hashem asei l'man shemecha, mikveh Yisrael moshi'o ve'es tzora lomotia kegir boretz, these are psukim where we beseech the Almighty, even if we may have sins, nevertheless cleanse us and help us, and that we shouldn't be like confounded individuals, like helpless warriors. We continue at the top of Daf Mem Omer Aleph. And you can see another diamond, a new prayer service that in which a Nesias Kapayim will take place. The Ni'ilah de Yom HaDikipuri, during the Ni'ilah service, the closing service of Yom Kippur, there was a there would be a Nesias Kapayim. My Omar, what would the people say? Omar Marzutra V'Amri Lo B'Masnisatana. Either Marzutra, another version has this as a Tanaic teaching, the public would say during the Nesias Kapayim of Ni'ilo Yom Kippur, Hine ki chen yivorech gever yivrei Hashem, yivorech Hashem mitzion, yivrei betuv yushalayim, kol yimei chayachu reibonim levonecho shalom al Yisrael. Once again, for a translation of that, by all means, look into a book of Psalms for the textual translation. But these are the psukim that one would say during the Nesias Kapayim of Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur. Heichon Omron, where would they be said? At what point would these verses that the Tzibur is reciting, where would it be said? Rav Yosef Omer Bein Kol Brocha Brocha, between each Brocha. The priestly blessing was made up of three verses, and between each verse, that's when these psukim would be said by the public. Rav Sheshes Omar Bahaskoras Hashem, and Rav Sheshes, he says no, it would be said when the Kehanim mentioned God's name appears in each one of the verses that comprise the Birkas Kehanim. For the first verse says, for example, Yevorachecho Hashem v'yishmerecho. So according to Rav Sheshes, when the Kohanim are saying Hashem, God's name, the congregation would recite these verses. Pligi bo Rav Mori v'Rav Zvid. There's a controversy between these two rabbis. Chad Omar Psuka l'kabel Psuka. The Tzibor would say one verse. We mentioned before the Tzibur is reciting three verses, so one verse of the Tzibur would correspond to one verse of the Kehanim. The second verse of the Tzibur corresponds to the second verse recited by the Kehanim, likewise with the third. That's posik for posik, verse for verse. The Chad Omar, the other opinion says, Akol Psuka Omar Lahu Lekulhu. For each one pasuk recited by the Kehanim, the Tzibur would say all of their verses. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Kol Ha'oimran Begvulin Eino Ela Toya. Rabbi Chiya says that the recitation of these verses on the part of the community, of the congregation, if they're said Begvulin, Gvulin means outside the Beis HaMikdash, they are making a mistake. The whole, this takona, this innovation of having the Tzibur say verses is, according to this opinion, and Rashi explains, it was established out of honor to the fact that they are hearing the ineffable name. That was recited, as we saw in previous shiurim, that was recited only in the Beis HaMikdash, the pronunciation, the actual pronunciation of God's name, the literal pronunciation, the phonetic pronunciation, that took place only in the Beis HaMikdash. And because of that, that's an awesome experience, to be present while the ineffable name is being recited as it is. So these verses were established as being part of the service, but only in the Beis HaMikdash, not Bigvula, not outside. Omar Rabbi Hanino Bar Papa Teda de Bemikdosh Nami Lo Miboy Lemimrenu. And Rabbi Hanino, he disagrees with everything we've said till now, and he says you should know, even in the Beis HaMikdash, they should not be said. Klum Yeshlocho Eved Shemivorchen Oisoi V'eino Mazin. Could you imagine a slave that is being blessed and he doesn't listen? So according to Rabbi Hanino Bar Popa, the congregation, who's compared to the Eved here, who's receiving the blessing, his main, let's say, role, his main job is to listen, not to be involved with recitation of verses. Omar Rav Acho Bar Hanino Teda deBigvulin Nami Biboy LeMimrenu. You'll notice that we have these triangles. They highlight the opposite element of each one of these opinions. This goes to the other extreme, and he says that you should know, even outside the Beis HaMikdash, these verses should be recited. Klum Yesh Eved Shemivorchen Oisoi V'ein Masbir Ponim. Can you imagine a slave who is being blessed and he doesn't show his gratefulness, his gratitude? That's Masbir Ponim, is a has to do with a sign of appreciation, expression of gratitude, so that the recitation of these verses is in effect a manifestation or an expression of their gratitude. And hence, even outside the Beis HaMikdash, the people, the congregation who's being blessed, they should show their gratitude, and that is accomplished through the recitation of these verses. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.